In this session, we remind ourselves about when IHT is payable and, more importantly, we will examine the situations when the inheritance tax can be paid in instalments. The basic rules regarding payment of IHT are contained in Section 226 of the Inheritance Tax Act of 1984. Inheritance tax on a chargeable lifetime transfer is payable on the later of two dates. IHT is due either 6 months from the end of the month in which the transfer took place, or on the 30th of April in the following tax year, if this is later. Remember that the IHT return, the form IHT 100, is not due until 12 months after the end of the month of the transfer. So the tax will generally be payable before the return is due. There are different due dates for tax payable as a result of death. Where tax is payable on a pet within 7 years of death, the tax is due no later than 6 months from the end of the month in which the donor died. The same due date applies for any additional tax due on chargeable lifetime transfers within 7 years of death. Note that the 30th of April rule does not apply here. This rule only applies for lifetime tax. Again, the IHT is due before the IHT return needs to be submitted. The due date for tax payable by the executors on assets within the death estate is very similar, but with one important difference. Tax payable by the executors is due on the earlier of two dates. The normal due date is 6 months from the end of the month of death. However, under Section 226, IHT is due on the delivery of the IHT return, i.e. the form IHT 400, if this comes before the normal due date. As we mentioned in the previous session, the executors are required to have submitted the IHT return and paid the inheritance tax before an application for probate can be made. Indeed, the executors will include a receipt for the return and the tax when making a probate application. Therefore, in practice, the IHT will usually be paid well in advance of the normal 6 months date, as it is important for the executors to secure probate as soon as they can. Interest will run on any tax paid late. In the case of tax due on the death estate, interest will run from the normal due date, i.e. the 6 months date, not from the date the return is filed if this is earlier. Next, we shall look at situations when the IHT can be paid in instalments. The relevant statutory rules can be found at sections 227 and 228, IHTA 1984. If an individual or an executor wishes to pay IHT by instalments, a claim must be made under section 227. The instalment option is not automatic. If no claim is made, all of the IHT payable is due on the statutory due date, as per the previous page. The ability to pay tax in instalments only applies to transfers of certain assets. Such assets are called qualifying property. We will look at what constitutes qualifying property later. If an individual or executor elects to pay the IHT in instalments, the tax is payable in 10 equal annual amounts. The first payment is due on the normal due date, i.e. 6 months from the end of the month of death, or the normal due date for lifetime tax, whichever is appropriate. The instalments will either be interest-free or interest-bearing, depending on the type of property transferred. We shall look at the interest position in more detail later. Let's start by looking at who can make a claim under Section 227 to pay IHT in instalments. A claim to pay tax by instalments can be made in respect of a chargeable lifetime transfer. However, a claim can only be made if the trustees are bearing the IHT. Therefore, if a donor gifts property to a discretionary trust and the donor agrees to pay the tax himself, no instalment claim can be made, and all of the tax is due and payable on the normal due date. A claim can also be made in respect of tax payable as a result of death. A claim can be made either if tax is due from the donee on pets or chargeable lifetime transfers within 7 years of death, or if IHT is due on the death estate. As far as pets or CLTs are concerned, an election to pay the tax in instalments can only be made if the donee, i.e. the individual or trust, still owns the property at the date of the donor's death. Therefore, if Mr. A gives an asset to Miss B, and Mr. A dies within 7 years, if Miss B has sold the asset before Mr. A's death, no claim can be made, and the IHT is fully payable on the normal due date. The logic behind this rule is that presumably Miss B now has cash, and can therefore afford to pay the IHT in full. There is one exception to this rule. If tax is due on business property, for example, property qualifying for 50% BPR, or where BPR does not otherwise wipe out the transfer. If the donee sells the business property and reinvests the proceeds of the sale in acquiring replacement business property, the right to pay tax in instalments is preserved. As we have mentioned, a claim to pay tax in instalments can only be made if the assets being transferred satisfy the definition of qualifying property. Tax due on transfers of land or buildings can be paid in instalments. Land and buildings includes all forms of land or buildings wherever situated. The most common form of land contained in a death estate will be the deceased's private residence. Inheritance tax on the residence can be paid in instalments if the executors so elect. Tax on certain shares can also be paid in instalments, as long as the shares fall within the definitions laid down in section 228. These will most commonly be shares in unlisted companies, and we shall look at section 228 in detail over the next few pages. Finally, a business or an interest in a business, i.e. a partnership share, is a qualifying property for the instalment option. Wherever you see a business or partnership share within a death estate, the first thought will be to check whether the transfer is covered by 100% BPR. If it is, no tax is due, so the instalment option is irrelevant. However, if BPR is not available, perhaps because the business has not been owned for 2 years, tax will be due, and the instalment option can be considered. As you will see, the types of assets which qualify for the instalment option are assets which cannot be converted easily and quickly into cash. Therefore, assets such as chattels, i.e. paintings, etc., quoted shares, and cash itself will not be qualifying property, and any tax on those assets will be due and payable immediately. Shares will only be qualifying property if they fall within section 228. Section 228 is quite a complex section, so we will break it down into its component parts, starting with subsection 1A. Shares will qualify if the transferor had control of the company immediately before the transfer. Control, in this instance, means power to exercise more than 50% of the voting rights. To determine whether a transferor had control of the company, related property, for example, assets held by the transferor's spouse, will be taken into consideration. There are no exceptions to this rule, so transfers from a controlling holding of shares will always be qualifying property, and tax on those shares can be paid in instalments. If the shares are not part of a controlling holding, we must move on and look at subsection 1b. Here, two conditions must be satisfied. Firstly, the shares must not be quoted on a recognised stock exchange. For these purposes, shares listed on the alternative investment market, AIM shares, are treated as unquoted. Secondly, the IHT which the transferor wishes to pay in instalments must be at least 20% of the total inheritance tax. To test whether this rule has been satisfied, we take the IHT due in instalments and divide by the total tax payable. If this fraction produces a number which is 20% or more, the shares will be classified as qualifying property. Let us skip subsection 1c for a moment and look first at subsection 1d. Here, three conditions must be satisfied. Firstly, the shares must be unquoted. Next, the value transferred by the shares must be at least £20,000. This may be the market value of the shares, or it could be a different figure to market value if the loss to donor or related property rules have been used to measure the transfer. Lastly, the shares must form part of at least a 10% holding in the company. If these three conditions are satisfied, tax on the shares may be paid in instalments. If shares fail to satisfy the definition of qualifying property, no instalment claim can be made. Therefore, if the shares do not form part of a controlling holding, or the transfer is of a small amount of unlisted shares which do not satisfy the tests in section 228, all the tax on those shares is payable immediately. In these circumstances, consideration should be given to making a claim under subsection 1c of section 228. The tests we have just examined are objective tests. This means that the revenue will simply look at the facts, and assuming the conditions are satisfied, the claim will be allowed. Under subsection 1c, an executor can claim that paying the tax in full on the normal due date would cause him undue hardship. In essence, The executor is claiming that he does not have sufficient cash funds at his disposal to pay the IHT in full.
This is a subjective test, i.e. the claim will be allowed at the discretion of the revenue.
This claim will be a last resort for the executors. Only if the objective conditions in section 228 have not been met will the executors need to consider a hardship claim. A hardship claim cannot be made for quoted shares, as these can easily be converted into cash by selling them on the open market. The only time that tax on transfers of quoted shares can be paid in instalments is if the transferor has more than 50% of the shares in the company. This is very rare in practice, so in almost all instances, the shares must be unquoted if an instalment option claim can be made. This leads us on to BPR. We know that a transfer of any number of shares in an unquoted trading company will qualify for BPR at 100%. Therefore, in the majority of cases where unlisted shares form part of the estate, no IHT will be due, so the instalment option becomes irrelevant. We may need to consider the instalment option if the unlisted shares have not been owned for 2 years, such that BPR is not available. You are perhaps more likely to come across the instalment option in cases where the deceased had shares in an unquoted investment company or property dealing company. Remember, BPR is only available where the company is trading. Therefore, for shares in non-trading companies, IHT will be due, and the instalment option should therefore be considered. Where a claim has been made to pay tax by instalments, the revenue will still accept settlement of the tax at any time. The taxpayer is not bound by the claim and may wish to pay the tax early in order to stop interest from accruing. If the qualifying property is sold by the new owner whilst tax is still outstanding, the unpaid balance of tax, together with any accrued interest, will become payable in full at the point of sale. For example, assume a taxpayer died in May 2010, leaving a house to a beneficiary. As land and buildings are always qualifying property, a claim to pay the tax in instalments is made. The first instalment of tax, i.e. 10%, was due on the 30th of November 2010. On the 1st of July 2011, the beneficiary sold the house. At that point, the rest of the tax, i.e. the remaining 90%, plus any accrued interest, will be payable. If IHT is paid late, HMRC will levy an interest charge. Interest runs from the day after the normal due date for payment until the day the tax is paid. Any IHT repayments will attract repayment interest. This runs from the later of the date of payment of the original tax and the due date to the date of repayment. Repayment interest is tax-free. The interest position on instalments is slightly more complicated. Where tax is being paid in instalments, those instalments will either be interest-free or interest-bearing. The rules are contained at Section 234 of the Inheritance Tax Act. Where instalments are interest-free, this means that interest will only be charged if the instalments themselves are paid late. No interest accrues on the unpaid balance of tax. Where instalments are interest-bearing, interest is added every year to the unpaid balance of tax. Whether instalments are interest-free or interest-bearing depends on the type of assets transferred. Tax payable in instalments in respect of land qualifying for APR, or shares in trading companies, or a business or partnership share are interest-free. Tax in respect of other qualifying property, for example, land and buildings not qualifying for APR, or shares in non-trading companies, will be interest-bearing. As mentioned earlier, perhaps the most common asset on which IHT is paid in instalments is the deceased's private residence. As this is land which does not qualify for APR, the instalments are interest-bearing. We shall look at the numerical effect of this in the next couple of pages.